Welcome into K-State Online. I am Mason Voth, joined by Drew Galloway. It is the KSO Sunday Show, minus fan today. Last time before the season gets underway that we will be without him, as just like everybody this time of year, it's anybody that is involved in this, or even really, I think, fans this time of year, you're trying to squeeze in all of your other things to appease people in your life before you ditch them for, well, it would be 3 months if you're totally locked in on college football, but also like there's basketball that comes. So basically we're going like 7 months here where you're just not going to care about anything other than basketball and football. So everybody do what you can to get, everything worked out and make everybody feel good about the way things are going. So just Drew and I here today, we will do a little K-State and Big 12 superlatives for the upcoming season. I'll ask Drew for an answer on, who is going to have the most touchdowns rushing the football for K-State this year. Who is the biggest fraud in the Big 12 this season? Who is his kind of surprise pick? We will go through those and take care of it all tonight in a nice tiny 20 to 30 minutes for you. And then next week we'll have just a full-blown show getting ready for game week and go from there. So that is what we have lined up for you today on the Sunday show. And most of you probably going to end up be listening to this when it comes to Monday. But before you listen to it on Monday, you should also know that it's going to be game week for the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. And if you're thinking to yourself, man, that seems like an awesome thing to be a part of, you're going to get to be a part of it next year because the Wildcats are headed to Dublin, Ireland next August for the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. You can join your Wildcats by booking your getaway at cats2ireland.com. The best seats and hotels will go fast, so secure your package now. That's cats2ireland.com. So for anybody wanting to go and experience week zero and K-State playing in one of these big kickoff events overseas, this is your opportunity. The other cool thing about this is thinking of it being a kickoff event now, Drew, K-State in what the last five, in less than a 5 year stretch, is going to get to have played in two of the big kickoff events. They played in the one in AT&T Stadium, which is now, I guess, the AT&T Kickoff Classic. I'll still probably always call it the Cowboys Kickoff, but they got to play in that against Stanford. And now they get to go play in week zero in the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. So two of the more iconic starts to the season venues and games K-State's going to have gotten to do in a less than 5 year stretch, which I think is pretty cool and pretty significant.
Yeah, I think the other thing too that hasn't really been talked about, but it's something that literally just occurred to me, is unless something like kind of crazy happens in the next, I don't know, however long until the rest of the week zero kickoff or the week zero schedule comes out, K-State, Iowa State, probably going to be college game day next year to kick it off.
Yeah, they will be there for Florida State and Georgia Tech this year. So I assume that will happen next year. I mean, I was trying to make the sell earlier in the week when DY and I were talking, and I was just kind of like, I mean, K-State and Iowa State theoretically is going to mean a whole lot more and be two combined better teams than Florida State and Georgia Tech this season. So just something to kind of keep in mind, but yeah, nice little nugget in the hat there, and should be good publicity for K-State and really a fun time for anybody that gets to go. And I know that there are a lot of people that still with this are thinking, man, it really stinks that we're losing this game from Manhattan. It takes away a home game. I do understand that. So like if you're of the group of people that would have been in Manhattan but aren't going to be in Ireland for this game, I really do feel for you. But I do think for a lot of other people, like, you can only get 50,000 people into Bill Snyder Family Stadium. So I don't think every K-State fan was going to be at the Farmageddon game in 2025. So for those that aren't, you're either going to Ireland and you're going to have a great time, or you're going to be jacked that, come this Saturday, it's going to be fun to have college football back, but you're going to be, the real deal's next week. Like, I get to watch the Cats next weekend. Next year, you are going to get to be the fun and awesome fan base that is watching your school play. So if you want to be a part of it all, cats2ireland.com is the place to get signed up. So that is where we have things set up right now. And let's dive in to some of the questions that I have for you, Drew, that will set the stage for the upcoming K-State and Big 12 football season. This whole next week, it is going to be about previewing the season, for K-State. So we'll have different things. DY and I started it last week. We talked running back, which is a very interesting conversation right now. So let's start there with you, Drew. Who leads K-State in rushing touchdowns this season?
I think a
lot of good options out there.
I think that you still have to say DJ Goodens. I just think that when the yards are going to be tough in the red zone, that 10-yard line and then even, then it's going to be 31 getting the rock just because of that's just more of his game is to get those tough yards. But I would even say, and I know that this isn't a question, I would imagine. But I think sneakily I would have Avery as my number two.
Okay. All right. Well, that was question number two. No, actually, I mean, I thought the only two options here were DJ and Avery would have been the way that I would go. I think if, you know, you were talking about like wanting betting value, there's probably not a lot of value in taking DJ Giddens here, but
no.
Like you could convince yourself, you know, Avery might be plus 1,000, but it could happen, you know, like
it wouldn't shock me if it ended up being Avery anyway, but like DJ has to be the leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah. And you just think about like the situations and circumstances of the season. DJ is going to have more of the runs that he breaks off for 20 plus yards that result in touchdowns. And it would be assumed. And you just kind of wonder like, how much are they going to keep the QB sneak in line when you get down there in the goal line? Because K-State, I know last year they were really good in terms of like percentage of touchdowns they got inside the red zone, but it did feel like they were always on the cusp of being in the danger zone of having to settle for field goals because it would take, you know, you get four downs down there, it would take three or four most of the time, and they would struggle sometimes on the sneak, and you think breaking in all of these new, you know, offensive linemen, maybe that takes it out of it. And he's so athletic and special, you know, you're probably going to want to use that, and you can have a wider array of plays there. I think I will go DJ Giddens with you as well on this one, but I wanted to just kind of ease you in to the pool here.
That was a nice layup to start. Yeah.
All right. So I'll make this next one harder for you. Who leads K-State in receiving yards this season?
I've hinted at it a few times. I'm back on the Keegan Johnson bandwagon. I think that he was super impressive in the time that we met with him in the media for his press conference. I think that he has been super impressive all fall camp from by all accounts that we've heard. I think that Jace Brown might be close. I've even kind of hinted in the over-under for the rest of the season that's coming out that I think that him and Jace Brown will be very, very close in yards, but I would slightly lean towards Keegan Johnson at this point.
Okay. I would go Jace Brown. The Keegan Johnson thing, I'm going to have to see it on the field before I fully buy into it. And then in addition to that, like Jace and Avery, same class, seems to be a really good bond there. I think that's just so important when you have the receiver and quarterback dynamic. And I mean, Will Howard and Ben Sinnott had it. Those guys were clearly tight, and Ben Sinnott was option A. Now, he probably would have been for any quarterback. You know, you have a tight end that's going to go in the first 2 days of the NFL draft. Makes sense, but I do think that I'll go with Jace Brown. I mean, he was the best receiver last year out of guys that are back on this roster, and you would think that he's going to take another step forward. So I would go Jace Brown there. Now, we'll flip to the defensive side of the ball, and these are going to be interesting because some of it has to do with luck. Other bits of it just has to be who's going to step up and want to go take this thing. So I ask you, Drew, who is K-State's sacks leader in 2024?
Oh, boy. Now, this is a question that could go, if you ask Buddy Wyatt, seven different ways.
I mean, you ask me, I think it could go seven different ways, maybe more.
I think I'm going to lean Travis Bates because he's been somebody that's been talked about as one of the best pass rushers. And I think that he's probably further along than Ryan Davis, who has also been really complimented about his pass rush. And I think that Bates can probably do a little bit more, like they said, playing inside on some downs. So I think I'm going to lean Travis Bates. But like I said, this it wouldn't shock me if K-State has like five or six different guys that have like four or five sacks apiece.
Yeah. No, that I was going to ask you then what you thought the leading total might be inside of that, because this could be one, like you just said, I viewed it as you might have four or five guys that are within a half sack of the leading number and a handful of ties and whatever else. It's going to be interesting for sure to see how it ends up playing out. This is tough for me because I've been pretty critical of defensive ends probably over the last 2 years, if not more. Basically, if you haven't been named Felix Anyadike Uzomah, I've probably asked for more from you at any given point in a season. And I think Brendan Mott is the way that I would trend, because it just feels like the upside that Brendan Mott would have is there. We've seen the flashes, but I didn't see as many of the flashes as I would have liked in 2023. And I want the pressure to be more consistent from the defensive ends this season. That's where that was honestly to me the biggest difference between K-State's defense in 22 and 23 was K-State didn't end up looking too terrible when you look at just strictly the sack numbers. But in terms of feeling like the defensive line made an impact on the quarterback throwing the ball and forcing him to make bad decisions, which led to interceptions down the field like they did in 2022, or bad throws, it was far fewer. So I'm going to go with Brendan Mott. I don't love the pick, but you know, you went trendy with Travis Bates. And I just think if Brendan Mott does everything, I think he is the most complete defensive end that K-State has. And like, it's not out of the question that he's an all Big 12 defensive end. He just has to put it all together and get it figured out this year.
I don't think that there's an answer that's necessarily wrong, but I don't think that there's an answer that you feel great about, because we've
Titus Tuiasosopo.
Because we've heard great things about a lot of the defensive end. So I think that kind of plays a part in it too.
Was that a bad answer though, Titus?
That might have been a bad answer.
Okay. All right. Strap Thomas coming in from the secondary on his two snaps a game. For four games, maybe, you know, I don't know. Just trying to find bad answers for you out there. Okay, let's move backwards then. Interceptions. Who's your interceptions leader?
I want to say Marquise Siegel, but I think that
you don't buy the hand hype.
I buy the hand hype, but I think that Jacob Parrish is probably going to end up being the leader. I just, with all of the good praise for the K-State corners, I think that he is probably the one. And I believe that he was a team leader last year and one of the top in the Big 12 in passes defensed, which, by the way, the fact that it's not pass deflection is weird.
Yeah.
But I would say probably Jacob Parrish.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Boring answer, but that's all right. Well, my guy is Marquise Siegel, and I know that there might be some out there, maybe even Marquise included, that think I don't like him. That's not the case at all. I mean, I have fun with the guys that I like. You know, Brad Keller, he was stellar Brad Keller even when he was toting a 4.65 ERA out there, which, by the way, he opted out of his Red Sox deal. So, Royals, hey, could be you. I'm not serious about that. I'm going Marquise Siegel. I do buy the hand hype in some ways. I also just think that, like, a lot of last year was kind of just bad luck, and it happens at times. And now he's obviously worked on it even more, because I do think some guys could have said, well, you know, I didn't let the ball get caught, so that's good enough. And yeah, I can make these catches. I'm going to shake it off. It'll be fine. So I think that because he's worked on it, because we've heard the hype in practice, I will buy into it. That is my guy right there. Not a John Kurtz, my guy, not going to curse him or anything. And I've already said that I think that I think I said that he has two pick sixes this year at least. I'm going out like that far on a limb when I talked to Scott Wildcat. And I think he gets to like at least five, maybe even we're talking six or seven, and he's getting up there into like Nigel Malone 2011 territory, which would be the most since then. So that's where I go. All right. Now, this is a lot more up to the imagination. This is not, there will not be stats to dictate this. So this is how you feel. Who will be the most exciting player to watch on K-State's team this season?
I feel like the answer probably has to be Avery, just because it's the one of the more dynamic quarterbacks that K-State's ever had, and probably one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the nation. So I feel like because of that, the excitement is there. And I think that the excitement and hype is already there. And I think that we're already kind of seeing that he is the most exciting player.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, that's the boring answer. That's what everybody wants. It's probably ultimately the right one. But in terms of me, I think about when I see something special happen on the field this season, and the person that when they do something special is going to get me the most excited, it's not Avery Johnson. This is not meant to be a slight or also meant to be like, you know, I'm not bored of his greatness, but I just expect it from him because I've already seen the flashes. I called his high school games for 3 years. I was on the field in Lubbock and Orlando when he looked phenomenal, and I just know what he can do. Like Avery Johnson, to me, I'm expecting it to be very Bobby Witt Jr. like, where it's like, we are very blessed to be watching this right now, but at some point, like, it's kind of deserved and you just expect it from him. Like, it's not, oh, you know, this magic can't last forever. He's going to make magic occur on a game by game basis. But who is the guy that when they make a play, I feel like I'm going to sit back and go, wow, that was special. That was fun to watch. It's got to be Dylan Edwards.
That was my number two.
Yeah. I mean, my excitement level of watching Dylan Edwards play at K-State might be higher than Avery Johnson now, probably because I've seen Avery play a couple games at K-State now. Like, it's happening. The Dylan Edwards thing, like, the first touch against UT Martin is going to be electric, whether it's a one-yard run or he takes the opening kickback for a touchdown. Like, it's going to be there, and I think he's going to do some things on the field that you go, man, that is fun to watch, and it's so awesome that K-State has a weapon like that, because he's really different from what they've had in the past. Like, yes, they had the small running back that he could run and he could catch the ball in Deuce Vaughn. Dylan Edwards is faster than Deuce Vaughn, and like it's just going to be fun to watch. So Dylan Edwards is my pick there. The next category I have for you, this is the quote 1 year away player. So this player will go out there, we'll see them occasionally, and they'll do a couple things, give you some flashes, but at the end of the day, you're going to say, man, he's a year away from being the guy at this position or being a real, you know, difference maker for this team. So who is your 1 year away player?
I think that that's going to be Toby Osunsami. I think that the flashes that he has had in practice and in games, I mean, he flashed a lot in games last year when he was on the field. That I think that now playing defensive end, you're kind of going to get to see him kind of put it a lot more together and really kind of attack and figure. Once he figures out what he's doing at defensive end, I think that's going to be when you're like, okay, he is 1 year away from being like really, really special.
Yeah. I mean, people know that I've kind of got an affinity for Toby, and I don't know if it's because, you know, we're both ICT guys, you know, look, basically a native here at this point. I've been here 4 years and nobody exudes more Wichita pride than I do. As Drew knows, or I don't know, were you up there at that press conference last year? I can't remember what game it was after, but I was back there and I was jokingly taking some shots at my current residency.
Oh, yes. Oh yeah. I was there.
Yeah. And there were people, you know, up there that like, I wasn't saying that I thought I hated Wichita, but I was like, it's certainly not like the greatest place to live. Like, I don't know. I mean, I grew up in Hutchinson, Kansas. I love it. Great place to grow up. But like, I'm not going to tell anybody, you know where you should live? Hutchinson. That's where you want to go. And there are some people that seemingly did not like my comments about that. I also think that there's this want for me that I want to be able to see Toby Osunsami come through, because this is important to see how it goes. So I have him there, but I think where I'm going to go, and I don't know if this is another hopeful one because I think it's important for K-State's success this year moving forward. Maybe not as important for this year, but I'll give the answer of Trey Spivey. I'm just so excited to, when he does get his opportunities to step up, you're looking for more wide receivers. You're always looking for guys that can catch the ball. And I look forward to seeing what he does in his flashes. And then hopefully we're sitting here talking by, you know, whatever game it ends up being, that he's the guy and that he can crack this rotation in a serious way. And that would really give a boost and help out K-State there. So we'll see how it ends up going. But
I really like that answer too. Like that one is probably more of along the lines of what you were looking for.
Yeah. I mean, well, Toby's not a bad one. And that's that one too, is where you look and say, you know, he's still relatively young in terms of how much eligibility he has left. And he's been jostled back and forth between, okay, defensive end, linebacker, all, like he's going all over the place. Now it's, they seem pretty firm and, hey, we're going to keep you here on the edge and we're going to let you grow into this position and see how it ends up working out. So we'll see how it ends up all playing out as the season gets underway in 13 days. If you're listening to this on Sunday night, if you're watching on Monday, it will be 12 and we will be ready for K-State football. So Drew is on his way out of here. We will say hasta la vista to him, and we will have more on KSO throughout the week and get you prepared for it. And I don't know, we may find some other ways to pick this up later on in the week. We'll be back on Monday. Availability with Matt Wells, going to get to hear from him and some offensive players for K-State. So be on the lookout for that over on the KSO YouTube and full coverage over at On3 at kstateonline.com. So for Drew Galloway, I'm Mason Voth. Thanks for watching and listening to the KSO Sunday Show. Back again to start Monday off for you and the rest of the week as we keep building up to K-State and UT Martin.